Tyrock! Enrol! All day long! Sweet Susie!
Making a podcast about nerd books. Drinking beer.
What do you always say when you intro the podcast?
I don't know.
Garrett
just
Rosa, and you're not.
Make up whatever you want.
Am I on?
Yes! Damn it, Dan.
We can't tell you who we are or where we live. It's too risky, and we've got to be careful. Really careful. So we don't trust anyone. Because if they find us, well, we just won't let them find us. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah, even the Fangamer Podcast.
Oh! Hello, and welcome to the Fangamer Podcast, number 42. This episode, as you may have gathered from Dan's cold open, is about nerd books, in which we discuss our favorite books that got us picked on as children, which you may know today as the fantasy or sci-fi genre. With me, as always, is my, let's call him the B-Chair, because I'm Chair 1. So, B-Chair, Garrett Rosa, how are you doing?
If that makes me B-Chair, I want to know what the rest of these guys' chairs are.
I'm the bucket seat.
Dan is the D-minor chair. It's for Dan Moore, DM.
Dan,
get it?
Dan McSweeney's Moore, who did a great... What was that again? Animorphs is what you just read?
The introduction to Animorphs, which is really the book series of our generation.
That and Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't nerdy. You wouldn't get picked on for reading those. People would just be like, I friggin' love Beast from the East. High five, bro.
So that's Dan. Ben, say hello.
What up?
Ben is
say hello.
Who is sounding real masculine right now, thanks to his illness.
To this Michelob Ultra.
Thanks to this degenerate. Oh, that's the worst beer.
I know.
It's the worst. It's like brown water.
I'm drinking
it's seltzer water.
Mirror Pond IPA or something like that, which I need more of, but I don't know how I'm gonna get.
Hey, let's switch. Trade okay. Like Pokemon.
I'm pushing it through the mic.
You're sending it back to Professor Oaks because you're going on a new journey.
Into alcoholism. Alright, let's start this cast off with some what you've been playing and or doing since last week. Because today I thought to myself, you know what? It's been a while since we recorded a podcast. It was Monday, and I was like, oh, we usually record the podcast right now, or not. Oh, this is kind of lonely. This is usually when I'm talking to my friends about nerdy things on the internet. And I was just at home playing Pokemon by myself, which was sad. So, what have you guys been up to since we last talked? Has anyone encountered any more people playing Guitar Hero on the train?
I guess I have an event I went to recently at an arcade.
Furcon?
Yeah! How did you know?
I always know when it's going on.
She gets emails.
Yeah, subscribe.
She follows their Twitter. Anyway, I went to a tournament for a game called Pump It Up. It's a dancing rhythm game like DDR, except the arrows are on every square. The DDR arrows aren't on the pad, so it's like an X. It's actually a better game, and
was
I like it.
Was the party hosted by Kel Mitchell?
Yeah, of course.
He wasn't doing anything else.
And he was just guzzling orange soda.
And man, that
wishing
guy.
He was on snakes on a plane. But anyway, I went there, and I didn't play the game. I'm not good at rhythm games that require dancing. Because my friends went, and a lot of people I knew were there. And it was a nerdy event, and I wanted to go. Like, a bunch of people from, like, New York and Florida went there. It was interesting. I didn't know it was going to be that big of a deal. But, yeah, it was fun watching people, but I actually got noticed playing around on my Game Boy with LSDJ, and a bunch of people were like, oh, man, you're playing that Game Boy Color. except it was an original Game Boy, so I don't know why they said that. But when I got home, I got like some messages on Facebook. It was like, don't think I won't find that mother effer who was playing the Game Boy with the LSDJ I'd have at it.
That's like, creepy.
What?
It was actually pretty cool because I quote unquote met the guy there. I didn't really talk to him, but I knew who he was. So it was cool to finally meet that guy.
Are you guys buddies now?
Who is this guy? Did I miss some large part of this conversation?
No, it was just some guy who was at the tournament who
knew
I mean,
what you were doing.
Shared like a few sentences with, and then he was like, "Yeah, I knew there was some guy playing with LSDJ."
Okay.
I never told anyone it was LSDJ. I said I was making chiptunes.
Okay.
He knew. So
did you send him the link to your new songs?
Not yet, but I suppose if it comes up, I'll...
Oh, that's what we'll use for the music this week.
Oh, sure. Not Junior Special, of course not.
Not Junior Special. We're going to use that. I listened to some of those. That'll be good.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, also, I met a guy who had Pokemon White, and he gave me a Kibago, and it was a good time.
Yeah, how's Pokemon Black going, since we haven't really talked about Pokemon enough tonight?
Did you read the review on iTunes about that?
Oh, no. Are people making fun of us for talking about Pokemon too much?
I'll talk about it when you ask me what I've been doing this week, because I've been thinking about it.
Oh. Well, yeah. Pokemon Black is great. I've finally gotten a chance to play it a little bit more, and I'm enjoying it more and more as I go into it. It's a really good game, even though I can't read anything.
Did you pick it up? I overheard that.
I ordered it this afternoon, yeah. I ordered White so that me and Ben can trade. He can trade me the little grass sheep magic thing, and I can trade him the psychic Pokemon that lives in goo and has limbs floating. Like, they're not attached to its body. They just kind of float around in the endless morass that is...
What type of Pokemon is Garbagemon?
Poison!
He's poison.
Oh.
And I found him. I found him. I didn't catch him. I don't want him.
He's literally a big pile of crap. How could he not be poison?
I mean, I thought maybe a normal type or something. I don't know.
I gotta say this. I found him, and his cry, his sound effect, has fart noises.
Oh. Shut up.
Yeah.
It does.
That's awful. Nice.
Good times. Okay, Liz, what have you been up to this week?
I ordered Pokemon White, which was very exciting for me. I decided that I didn't really want to wait 6 months to play it, and I'd probably be very, like, over it by the time it came, so I figured I might as well just order it and then play it while it's still fun. But I am dismayed to be talking about this on the podcast, because we got a review on iTunes from, Mud Bastard? Is that what that says?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
From the aptly named Mud Bastard, I suppose, saying it is a good podcast for a fantastic site, and rather than read the whole thing, because he goes in depth, he says that as of late we have spent too much time discussing Pokemon, and that's not so good, and also we don't really talk that much about games previous to previous to N64. He also makes a crack to the effect that we've never played anything earlier than Final Fantasy VII, but I think we're all big fans
that
of VI.
That's
not true.
About to drop some knowledge on
this
boy.
That's probably the only part where I say we've actually gone to pretty good lengths to say other games we played in the Final Fantasy franchise, but we very much go back to those games very frequently, so I can see where it would seem like we've only played those ones. So
wait, like, he says that we don't talk enough about games after the N64? Before.
No, he says those who played a lot of games during the SNES era or prior won't find a lot of that discussed here, which is odd given that a lot of the site's products and events are centered around two of that era's more well-known RPGs, Chrono Trigger and Earthbound. Hmm. What I would say to that is, my feeling is, if you are coming to... Maybe I'm incorrect in this. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But if you're coming to Fangamer and listening to our podcast, it's assumed that you love Chrono Trigger and you love Earthbound. We love Chrono Trigger, we love Earthbound, and I kind of don't want to beat it to death, because I feel like I love those games. And if you want, I can sit here and dissect them, and I can make this the How Much Do I Love Zeal podcast.
We had a one Earthbound podcast, finally. I think, Dan, you're here for that, weren't you?
I'm not sure, but I am typically the one who has to say I've been playing Earthbound when people are
And I think
calling us
I've got to respond to that guy by saying, like, I kind of agree to a certain extent. Like, sure, you don't have to talk about Chrono Trigger and Earthbound, but there are still a lot of other great games, like, from that area of gaming that we don't really touch on that too much.
No,
I guess agree. we don't have too many subjects that would touch on those sorts of games. But I personally, I have a decently sized NES collection and a Super Nintendo collection.
The funny thing is,
we get into that sometime.
We try and overcome that through Game Club, which is a separate podcast, saying we know we don't know much about a lot of other games that people consider to be classics and imperative to being a gamer. So we try and go through those in Game Club, but it's a separate podcast, so if you don't listen to that one, you wouldn't believe us. So,
well, if he's not a fan of Pokemon, that may not be the best place to
watch. That's true. But no, I take it, though. It's a good review. I like
it. It's a solid review. I will say my favorite game is a Super Nintendo game. It's Donkey Kong Country 2, so take that, mud bastard.
I love bastard.
Super Nintendo. I think Super Nintendo is the best system. Like, that ever was, ever will be. There's only one perfect system, and everyone knows it's the Super Nintendo.
The best there ever will be.
We're going to have to do a lot of, like, Sega Genesis Game Club or something to make up for all of the Nintendo hype that we have built up.
What, like Echo Game Club?
Echo Game Club.
I'd love
Let's
to
go.
Play Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, we can spend 2 hours in the first level and just quit. We can't figure out how to pass it.
Are you sure you're not confusing that with Earthbound Zero? I know you love that game.
Oh, you're killing me. After the graveyard, it picks up.
So, Dan, what have you been up to? Are you still playing Earthbound Zero?
I've been thinking about a replay, but I like to use my space in this this part of the podcast to discuss a fan fiction idea I just had with you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I want right. Dan, when you're done, I want to pitch a podcast idea to you that these two didn't get.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, forget them if it's about fan fiction, because we'll do it.
Yes!
No. I was all for that one.
A separate podcast.
So consider this. You've got the Animorphs world, which we're about to discuss, and the Pokemon world, which we've discussed to...
At great length.
Yeah, at great length.
Oh, wait. Dan, I'm going to stop you here. If you're going to talk about Pokemorphs, you are way late to the party, buddy.
Well, just a second. This is a tender romance. On the theme.
A bad romance, you might say.
Yes. Ash and Misty wake up one day to find that life is not how it once was. They're no longer masters of Pokemon. They are themselves Pokemon, but they're Nidoran, male and female.
It's like Kafka.
Oh.
Whoa.
This is Kafka-esque.
Yeah.
And see, they go to the Safari Zone and Ash gets an apple lodged in his back.
Oh, man. The existential crisis at the end is going to be truly astounding.
Is it going to be Ash's mom and Professor Oak, like, riding through the town, and he's like, I think it's time you should marry.
Oh, God.
You'd never know. I've only skimmed that book once.
This is why I'm workshopping this idea. It just got so much richer.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a flourless chocolate cake. It is rich.
Oh, I don't even know where to take that. The fan fiction workshops, that's where I lost it right there. That's so good. So, Dan, you're in school right now, right?
Yes, doing non-fan fiction workshops.
How's that going, man?
Pretty good, actually. Lots of writing, lots of people dissecting and saying terrible things about my writing, but well, all right. Yeah?
It's so bad.
My new story is actually about someone who writes fan fiction. Yeah. No need
a fanfic about that person?
It might be. I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Has anyone played any games at all?
I ordered a game. That's like playing a game with your own money.
I've been playing this Pokemon for Game Club.
Yeah,
I've been
that
playing
too.
Professor Layton and the Unwound Future.
Oh, you're not playing like the Hotbox or whatever the last one was?
Yeah, I beat that one. It was really good.
In the
Diabolical Box.
Is it a sexual thing? Is it a drug thing? I don't know. That's the riddle.
Yep. Every puzzle has an answer. But yeah, the Unwound Future is good. Go buy it. That's all I gotta say. Also, in the future, I will be playing Super Scribble Knots.
That's good.
Well, I just saw Fable 3 is coming out at the end of this month, and I played Fable 2 through to completion at least 3 or 4 times. I really, really enjoyed that game. So once that comes out, I don't know, care what we're playing at that point. I'm done with it, so. Let's take a short break.
Wait. I want to pitch my podcast idea to Dan.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Dan. Let's not take a short break.
No, yeah. We're not going to. We are talking about holiday-themed podcast ideas, and I said for Valentine's Day, we should discuss our favorite one true pairings, and I specifically said you should be on the show, because you're big into that kind of thing.
Oh, man. It's happening.
And watch as we get like 70 more iTunes reviews about how we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, from the Harry Hermione fans. We'll be fans of it.
Yeah. I'm speaking truth to power about that this Valentine's Day.
Truth to power. All right, I'm glad you like it. Garrett, it's settled. We're doing the One True Pairing podcast.
All right. Well, then with that, now we take a short break, and we'll play Charlie's audio candy here, and it'll be awesome.
Charlie candy.
Charlie candy.
Sweet, sweet Charlie candy.
He's rich. Like a chocolate candy.
Hello, everybody. This is Charlie with Audio Candy. Today I'm going to present you with The Steel Samurai by Noriyuki Iwadare. I love reading books, and I can read in most any environment, but I have to admit, it's easier to read with quieter background music than with, say, heavy metal or lyrical music. This isn't fan music, strictly speaking. Noriyuki Iwadare actually composed the music for Phoenix Wright Trials and Tribulations, as well as this incredible jazz arrangement of the Steel Samurai theme. I feel that this composer deserves some extra recognition. Noriyuki Iwadare composed the music for several of my favorite games, such as the Lunar series, Radiata stories, and, of course, the Ace Attorney series. I distinctly remember the music from each of these games, and the composer deserves to be commended for his range of styles alone. So sit back and enjoy, and maybe read a book for the next 5 minutes or so.
Thank you.
You can find this track and other jazz arrangements from the Ace Attorney series on the CD Turnabout Jazz Soul. Email all Audio Candy comments and suggestions to me, charlie@fangamer.com.
Objection!
Overruled.
Alright, we're just going to skip Fangamer news and we're going straight into the show topic because Dan is here and he's excited to talk about his favorite Star Wars novels from his youth.
Oh, he's practically too messin'.
You know, I was excited for Fangamer news. I actually have stuff I could talk about.
What? Okay.
What news do you have?
How did
have?
You not bring that up 2 seconds ago?
When we were talking about it.
No. I don't have anything to talk about, but I don't have anything to talk about even more in regards to books, is what I'm saying.
Okay, let's start with Ben then, so we get him out of the cast here.
Oh, God.
So, Ben, you haven't read any, like, Star Wars novel?
No, like, I've read, like, a few books in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy
okay,
series.
You're fine. You're covered.
Pretty dorky. You're good.
Yeah. That's the cool nerd book, though. Like, once you've graduated to being able to make fun of other nerds who are reading, you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But, like, were, like, Goosebumps books also nerd books? Or?
It depends on the plot line.
That's
like,
true. It's also, like, the age at which you read them, I'd
say. Yeah, that's the crucial part.
True.
Like, if you liked the one, like, Night of the Living Dummy, everybody liked that. You're a jerk.
The Cuckoo Clock of Doom.
Yeah, but if you liked the one where it's, like, Tower of Terror, where there's medieval children, and they're in the past and the future, and it's kind of, like, on the edge of a fantasy thing, and you're secretly like, I love princesses, then you're a nerd.
I've got to say, I think my favorite Goosebumps book, actually, is this one. It was a choose-your-own-adventure Goosebumps book.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Were there any good endings? Because that doesn't make
sense. Those were so bad.
No. Yeah, they were bad, but I thought it was so cool. It was my first choose-your-own-adventure book. It was, like, about some kid who moves to a new town, get this, and there's a haunted house and like undead people live in it.
No way.
And like he has to make friends with them. But
are
when
they
he
headless?
Does
or is that a different one?
No, it might be a different one. But like I don't even remember. It was just like it was Halloween. It was like, hey, let's go trick-or-treating, except you die.
Wow. This sounds like an excellent book. I can see why you kept reading after that.
Yeah. I always liked the one where the girl, like a kid moves next door to a girl, and she's like, he must be a ghost. Long story short, she's a ghost. She didn't know she died. Very sad.
Wow.
She figures it out when she can run through fire. Like, your first thought is not, I'm a ghost. It should be like, I am a mutant. I am awesome. I am Nightcrawler.
The Sixth Sense ripped the
Out that of anticipates the work of M. Night Shyamalan.
It does. Well, you know why?
Now
I
know
it's only
true
good work.
Inspiration.
M. Night was a big Goosebumps fan. Obviously,
I'm hoping he'll adapt Say Cheese and Die next.
Well, he had the devil in an elevator. Who knows where he'll take it next?
Yeah.
So, have we properly introduced what the show topic really
well,
is?
If you couldn't figure out already, this week's topic is about nerd books, specifically fantasy and sci-fi, or basically any book that someone would have made fun of you for reading. I think that's how you worded it, right, Liz?
Yeah, which I think, like, in America now, given how video games are so readily available to children, I think that's any book you're caught reading under the age of, like, 20.
Reading, period.
Yeah, if you're reading your textbook, you're gonna get dragged out back and just shanked.
Oh, your math book. It's such a nerd.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to start off then with, is there a book that we possibly, maybe excluding Ben, have all read that is in this genre? And my guess would be The Giver.
Oh, I love The Giver. I was hoping someone would bring that up.
So, okay, Ben, have you read The Giver?
What's The Giver?
Oh,
Bring that shit, right?
So it's close. Baby's First Dystopia.
Yeah.
That's exactly
Dan,
what it is.
Can you give us a brief synopsis of The Giver?
I'm too enthusiastic about it. Dan, you gotta be a neutral party.
Oh, it's been a while, but the key thing to remember when you're putting yourself in the mind of a seventh grader reading The Giver is that, holy crap, it's a dystopia, and terrible things are happening to the characters. And but you can see that, but they can't see that.
Yeah. Actually, when I read it, my first thought was, holy crap, how is this the person who wrote Number the Stars? This is so much more interesting.
Are you the only person in the world who read Number the Stars before?
Whoa, wait. Number the Stars. What was that about? I think I read that book.
Probably the Holocaust.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah!
Holocaust. Yeah.
Help, I'm excited.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
Okay, so you didn't read The Giver. Giver... Yeah, Baby's First Dystopia. There's a little... And the nice thing is, like, I remember reading that for school and thinking, do they know this book's in here? Like, this is really cool. Like, I'm having a really good time. And I was like, oh, man, this book must not be for school. Or how am I getting away with this, is how I felt.
It was a typo in the curriculum.
Yeah, The Giver should be something else.
I can actually summarize it, if you want.
Yeah, go for it. A good summary.
The way The Giver works is, it's like... It's a dystopia where everyone sees black and white, color no longer exists, and there are no longer any memories of any kind of hostility or war or pain or discomfort. There are no specific family units. It's you decide to get paired off with someone at a certain age, and then you are assigned children from a birth mother, and you take, I don't know, probably Zoloft to kill any sex drive you might have. And it's a bit like Brave New World in that the family unit is just totally broken down and reassigned and regimented. But the way this society is able to do this is you have one person in the society called the receiver, who his job is to take all of the bad memories and all of the good memories of color and, like, just all the interesting memories that would cause conflict, and he keeps them inside his own brain. So when you are assigned a job at, like, 12 years old or something, usually you get to, like, work at the fish hatchery or work at the, like, work building planes or whatever. Or you get to be a birth mother, which I imagine is very exciting. I think it was only for the stupid girls. But you know, one kid, Jonas, gets picked to be a receiver. So he goes into the old receiver, who's now the giver, the guy from the title. And it's his job. It's his job, Jonas's job, to receive all of the memories, good and bad, of the previous culture. And then he sees them, and he's like, I have to let the world know. The world was so beautiful. There was a sailboat. There was war. There was, like, weird sponge bath scene.
So,
that's the only scene that stuck with me in this
book.
I was
going to say, I'm recalling a memory. Well, first, how does he transfer the memories? Like, through touch?
He puts his hand on, like, Jonas's back or something. Because Jonas does it to a baby later to get him to sleep.
Okay, so I remember that. And then I remember that there's a moment in the book, and I must have been when I finally figured out what was going on, where I think the kids around him are playing a game that I don't know that he knows the name of the game, but
it's
essentially
like Cops and Robbers.
Yeah, it's like Cops and Robbers or like a war game where they're like shooting each other, and he had just received a memory about war, like he was in war, and so he saw them playing, and all of a sudden it just clicks, and he's just like gets really sad. And
he flips out at them, I think, and they don't understand what the problem is because they have no memory, like they have no concept of what they're actually doing. Yeah. And so he goes like all Super Saiyan on them, and they're not happy about it.
Yeah, and then in the end, he runs away or something.
He didn't read it yet, you dick.
Everyone
should read The Giver.
Number one, they're not going to read The Giver.
Everyone should have already read The Giver.
Exactly. If you haven't read it by now,
all right,
it's too late.
This is what
read,
junior
like,
high
1984.
Is for.
I don't like step down.
I mean, okay, so
it's
we
better
don't
than
make 1984. Him read Boxcar Children while we're at it? What?
Boxcar Children.
Boxcar Children, I think, was like, if you were reading that after like the third grade, maybe that's not cool.
That's what I'm saying, right. How far back should we go, Liz?
They lived in a boxcar. That was the premise. That's it.
Oh, yeah. No. Boxcar Children had
They would have died off by book three.
They started off that way, and then they moved in with this creepy old guy after that.
They would have been, like, molested in the real world and eaten and just human centipeded. It would not have worked out well at all.
And you guys are talking about...
The big reveal is that this is actually a post-Giver world, and they don't know it.
It's true. They don't even know they can't see color because they have no concept of it.
What were you going to say, Ben?
I was going to be like, you guys are talking about all these, like, interesting and deep books when, like, the books I read...
The Boxcar Children?
Well, no, but, like, I'm just saying, like, the kind of books I read, at least that young, were like, there's a boy in the girl's bathroom, and, like, sideways stories from the Wayside School.
Oh, those were great. Yeah, the Wayside Stories were great.
There's everybody.
Yeah, no 13th floor, man. Better watch your back.
All right, that was my shot at a book that we had all had read that was in this genre. Okay,
The Giver.
Liz, what do you think? What do you think we might have all read?
I would have thought Animorphs, but Ben is a functional illiterate, so...
I don't think I've actually read Animorphs either.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold up. So earlier, to give the audience a bit more information, Garrett kicked me out of the podcast temporarily because I didn't read Animorphs. So you're going to sit here right now and tell me that you haven't read Animorphs?
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Ben just got kicked out again. Garrett, you are a regular Falcon 24 with your kick pants here.
Oh, I'm not even going
to
edit this.
Never come into SMNet Dudes again.
Baby, come back.
You blame it all on me.
I was wrong. And I don't wanna... Anyway, let's talk about
Swiffer
nerd
room,
books.
Yeah.
Okay, Liz, what's your... Besides Animorphs, then? Or was that your guess?
It would have been Animorphs or the Redwall book. Or
I've
like
not read Redwall. What is this?
Come on.
What is Dan, Redwall? Can you step up and do Redwall?
I can.
Read a little bit of Redwall, so...
Thank you, Ben. Jeez.
Is this the one with the mice?
Yeah, yes. Redwall is like if you're kind of interested in fantasy, but not interested enough to hear a lot of people singing in The Lord of the Rings. And
you
also,
were a foxtail.
Also, yeah, if you like animals. Because,
so if you're actually, a furry.
Yeah, essentially.
No, I don't think you can be a furry at 11. Though furries may disagree with me on that.
Yeah. Born not bred.
Yeah.
Actually, can I drop some katanasty up here?
Yes.
You're a furry?
No. So, about Redwall, like, wasn't there, there was, like, one book that, like, wasn't, maybe it wasn't, like, in the main series, but it wasn't titled.
There's, like, 14 books now.
Yeah, they're all the same, and that's what's so great about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, what was the first one called?
Redwall.
Chronologically, I
didn't read one named Redwall, but I know it was a part of the series.
All right, let me see if I can do them. I can probably get, like, the first 10. Okay. Yeah, and you're all excited to listen to this. It would have been Redwall, Mossflower. Yeah, Redwall, Mossflower, Martin the Warrior, Natameo, which I always found a hard word to pronounce. Those were like the main four or so. There were like 10 more, but was it one of those?
It might have been Redwall.
Wow.
After all.
Beth, you are providing this podcast with endless anticlimax.
That's Ben's pretty much his theme in life. Ladies, look out.
But no, I can summarize every Redwall book, and it's going to be very easy because they all have the same plot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
lay it down.
So we begin in Redwall Abbey, which is basically the best place in the world. Everybody's incredibly happy. You've got
it's
mice.
A Unitarian church.
Yeah. You've got a head abbess or abbot who keeps all the Dibbons in line, even the Dibbons are children. Even as they try to steal all of these great feast items that are mentioned in excruciating detail.
This book sounds pretty awesome so far.
So, if you like October Ale, get excited.
Yeah. So one day, a ship usually pulls up at the edge of the bay or wherever the abbey is. And the ship is filled with rats and...
ferrets, weasels.
Yeah. The clearly evil animals,
mm-hmm.
and usually a pirate king, and they are going to take over the abbey.
Foxes, too. Sometimes there are foxes.
Oh, man. The foxes are terrifying.
They're so clever.
Yeah.
You've got to keep your eyes on. They're gypsies sometimes, too. It's kind of a weird racial tension thing, where they're either pirates, or they're gypsies, or they're, like, sand people.
It's kind of a racially strident series of books.
It is.
But through the resourcefulness of the good animals, the mice, and even the Dibbons, who always pitch in by by murdering a few pirates altogether, the Abbey is saved. Sometimes, if you're really lucky, the Badger King comes
from Salamandastron?
From Salamandastron. To save
sweet name. I'm and, a Pokemon
that. He has an army of hares. Don't forget.
I don't think that would
fit. Oh, yeah, long control. And the thing about the badger is that he can kill 100 to 200 pirate rats at a sitting.
He has bloodlust. Like, you know when a Saiyan looks at the moon and it goes ape, literally and figurative? That's exactly what happens to badgers.
Oh, Lord Brocktree could not be denied.
How do you remember the name Lord Brocktree?
Yeah, so if a badger dies in the book, he is being crushed by like 400 rats at once.
Oh,
it's ridiculous. Or else he's torn a pirate ship in half and he's sinking with it. Think about it.
Yeah, the badgers are incredible.
This sounds amazing.
So at the end of the book, order is restored, but not for long, because there are lots of pirates in the world of Redwall, and another book is going to come along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, like, one of the early books was kind of dark, where it was about Martin the Warrior, who for the whole series, it's like, wow, remember this dude Martin? He was so strong, like, for a mouse. What a good dude. And it just talks about him, like, waging war against the pirate kings on some godforsaken rock. And then at one point, like, he has a girlfriend, and her head just gets, like, snapped in half against a wall. And
oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, Martin's girlfriend Rose died. Pfft, whatever.
Oh, gosh. That screwed me up when I read it.
It was Rose, dark.
Well, in semi-related
I dare you to seg from that.
Well, there's a series of graphic novels called Mouse Guard, which sound somewhat similar, about mice who are the guardians of these various paths through the forest that the mice kind must travel to get where they need to go, and these elite mice warriors, and it takes place in a world where there are wolves and badgers and such. They're not quite as... Yeah, it sounds like basically a graphical version of Redwall, which I have the first two in the series, and it's really, really good. So it sounds very interesting. So if anyone who's interested in Redwall,
there's
Mouse Guard, you can find it at Barnes & Noble. That's where I found it.
I got another book. Brian Jaworski, actually, was texting me when he saw the tweet I made about Animorphs and Redwall, and he was saying...
Wait. Brian, who has a Twitter... text you. Instead of just tweeting back to you.
I was on the road. I wouldn't have gotten it. I was at the vets with Penny.
It's only
but
you have an iPhone that has a a Twitter app and
yeah. Anyway, the Rats of Nim. Did any of you guys
do
that?
Gosh.
One?
Yeah.
Oh, another movie. Great mouse related book.
Not the book. I saw the movie. Yeah.
The movie's no good because it has magic. It's not about magic. It's about science.
Oh. Wow.
Not to get serious on you.
No, not at all. Okay, then. So, well, then I'm thinking of another one that might apply to the group, but I haven't read it, so this is actually already not a good one.
Try it.
Lord of the Rings.
No. I tried The Hobbit and couldn't do it.
Ooh.
No.
I know that Jen, I don't know, Jen gets really weird about books, I think. Like, she gets to the person who's like, how Xbox guys are on achievement points. Jen is on books.
Achievos.
A book is really hard to read, she will try and read it on purpose and will finish it. And I think she read the whole series, even though it was super difficult to get through. Like, talking about these appendices upon appendices where they talk about who had this kid and who had this kid. And
I'm curious, is she a big fan of Faulkner?
No, I don't know.
Because that's...
Because she should be.
Yeah, that's Omega class hard to read. That's the Phoenix Force of hard to read books.
So, I
can make lemonade out of this Lord of the Rings lemon here, because I think there's a hierarchy of nerd books.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I think there is too.
Because as someone who read Redwall, which admittedly does not sound very very socially adept as I'm summarizing it right now, I could still make fun of the people who are really into Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I can too.
Yeah.
Further down the rabbit hole. Okay, is there anything after Lord of the Rings then?
Jedi novels.
Yeah. Star Trek, extended canon stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that extended canon. Like, way beyond even the first extended canon, when the original writers who have stolen from the original writers have died. That's when you know you've gone too far.
Well, then let's take a step back then and go towards the top layer of, like, I feel like Neil Gaiman breaches that gap of
He's part of the Hot Topic crowd, though. He's good. I loved Sandman, but it's kind of goth, man.
What? Okay. What have you read of his?
Sandman, pretty much.
Okay, just Sandman. Okay, I haven't read Sandman. I've read American Gods, which... Oh, your buddy brings up Mudbastard.
Wait, in the thread?
Yeah, in the thread. He brings up American Gods.
Did we let that name slide as moderators?
Well, it's spelled the same way.
All right. So, I'll change anyway.
Another one called...
I'll get him.
One called Good Omens, but I've read another one on Nazi Boys. And American Gods, I actually loaned it to Charlie, because I knew he was quite a reader when he was here, and I said, I really, really like this book. I think you'll like it. And I think he's reading through it, and he told me it was pretty amazing. I guess it's my turn to summarize the book then. So American Gods, oh no, I will read what our buddy Mud here wrote, because he does a much better job.
Isn't it his little week?
American Gods is the story of a man named Shadow, not the ninja, who is released from jail a week early after his wife and best friend are killed in a car crash. Upon leaving jail, he encounters a mysterious man named Wednesday. The two, through a series of events, end up traveling the United States and are eventually caught up in a war that is occurring between the old gods that those that immigrants worshipped and brought with them to the U.S. Yeah, those ones. and the new gods, like media, which is like represented by like a pixelated anchor woman. The whole book is fantastically written and gives a very interesting take on American culture. I agree, it's taking these mythic sort of gods against what you might consider more modern gods, like he says, like media or capitalism and things like that, and making them into this. It's a good book, so I'll leave it at that, since I'm pretty sure no one else here besides me has read that. Let's see what. And you guys read Ender's Game?
Oh, yeah.
I was just talking to people about that. They really want me to read it.
I'm so glad. So,
third day.
Liz, have you actually
ride or
read
die.
It? Liz, mm-hmm. Have you read Ender's Game?
No, I just went to lunch with two people. We had ice cream nachos at TGI Fridays, for those who are curious.
That's a thing. Nachos?
Yeah, it's wonton strips covered in ice cream and mangoes.
Oh, that sounds pretty sweet, actually.
10 out of 10. But, yeah, they were telling me how Ender's Game was just really, really good, and I needed to read it. And I was like, yeah, you should read Redwall.
Yeah, I mean, you suggested to me that whatever book, and I tried reading the beginning, and I'll try getting through more of it, but... Ender's Game is very easy to read, I think. I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, and I think it has another hallmark of nerd books, which is that it has the moment where you're like, oh, man, something really incredible happened, and I can lord this over people who are making fun of me for reading this book. Because it's got that the scene where Ender, spoiler alert, inadvertently kills a bunch of aliens. And is manipulated into doing it and becomes very anti-establishment.
That does sound like the end of Animorphs.
Well, Ben, if I can suggest a book that you would absolutely love from this cast, Ender's Game. I have no doubt. I don't think I've met anyone who didn't like Ender's Game.
Yeah. Did you say Ben?
Ben, yeah.
Okay.
Ben Kenobi over there, yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about that book. And,
Yet you haven't read it. Ben, tell us more about your hatred for reading.
I don't have a hatred for reading. Well, I guess I do have a hatred for reading. No, I don't have a hatred for reading. I think it's that, like, I have ADD, and whenever I try to...
This is Starman.net.
Sure, but whenever I try to read something, like, I can just never, like, really force myself to keep reading.
Yeah, I have solved that problem by just skimming over chapters I find uninteresting.
Yeah.
Like, I perfected that on Moby Dick. But even stuff like the George R.R. Martin series, which, like, I've been trying to get Garrett to read, there were, like, the fourth book, A Feast for Crows. If there were, like, 12 different perspective character chapters, I read, like, 7. I get the gist. I don't really know what happens in, like, the South.
Jen would just be yelling blasphemy right now. The fact that... Whatever. I skip things in books drives me crazy. Where I'm like, Yeah, I skimmed this paragraph. I could already tell it wasn't relevant to my interests, and she's the kind of person who has to read every word. Then I ask her how much of that she actually retains, and not a lot.
That's also my problem with reading. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't tell you half of anything that happens in any of the books I read, mostly because a lot of the books I read I just didn't have any interest in. It was like an assignment or something. But even books I really liked as a kid, like now I probably couldn't tell you much about them, which is sad. It makes me worry for my IQ or whatever.
I'm sure it still works. Like, if you think about things you played, like video games when you were a kid, I'm sure you still remember like level layouts and stuff. It's just what you cared to devote long-term memory to.
Yeah. All right, so let's lit some time up to what are some of people's favorite nerd books. I've already Ender's Game is my absolute favorite. So Dan, what's for you favorite nerd book?
I think a great nerd book is one where there is a world large enough for you to imagine things that do not actually happen in the book,
and you can draw pictures of that.
Draw pictures, perhaps write some fan fiction. I don't know.
Yay!
But, so, yeah, something like Ender's Game, where there's this huge universe predicated on the idea that we've been invaded by aliens twice, and that they're the specific kind of alien, and the battle school and all that. You can imagine different worlds inside that. And I think as nerds, that's what you're going for.
It's funny you say that, because apparently Orson Scott Card himself thought, I should go back to that sweet, sweet money train that was Ender's Game and write a whole other series in the
Ender's
same
Shadow.
Universe from someone else's perspective.
Is that what he should have called it? Ender's Game 2, It Never Ends.
No, he did one called Ender's Shadow, which, in terms of a literary study, I found quite interesting because he does tell the same story from an entirely different character.
And
it's actually, I think, compelling both times. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I loved Ender's Shadow. I actually haven't read the actual sequels to Ender's Game.
Oh, they are.
But I got three or four books into the Ender's Shadow series.
You know, they're doing that with Twilight, right? They're rewriting it from Edward's perspective now.
Astonishingly, I did that.
Get excited.
All these years.
Yeah, that's a where is that in the tier of nerd books?
That's just like crap beach. That's like below beach reading. Dan Brown is beach reading. This is like what you scrape away from Dan Brown's body. It's just like the barnacles that live on Dan Brown.
That means that Dan Brown, when he's not been scraped, actually does sparkle in the daylight.
I'm sure Da Vinci would have wanted it that way.
All right. Sorry, wait. Dan, what was your favorite book then? I already forgot.
Well, I mean, the Ender's Game series, the Redwall series, of course, the Harry Potter series.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you brought that. Ben, have you read Harry Potter?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Thank God.
Oh, I was
not the whole series, but I've read the first four.
Quickly, Ben, what's your OTP?
I don't think I have an OTP.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah.
What are like the top candidates, and I'll pick my favorite.
I'll tell you, Dan. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Harry and Hermione, Harry and Ginny, or Harry and Draco and Snape.
Oh God!
Aww. Or
you can ship the six pack. Which I won't explain in this podcast.
I don't know if I'm going to leave this part in or take it out.
No. You should leave it in. I think I'm going to edit it after all.
There's so many things that
If someone Googles the six-pack, then I will actually suggest you edit it out.
You know, if somebody Googles the six-pack, it'll show the situation. The six-pack. No, it shows a 1982 movie starring Kenny Rogers.
All right, well, we're safe. Okay.
It's not very good at all.
Liz, favorite nerd book?
It's not my favorite, but one of the ones I wanted to bring up was the Dark Materials series, the Golden Compass and Subtle Knife and all those, I guess the last ones, Amber Spyglass. They were very good, and I really liked them.
I've actually read a little bit of the Golden Compass.
Yeah, it's a really good book. It's a shame the movie was just not good at all, because I feel like it could have... No, it wasn't good. It was like the last Airbender movie, where it was just like, let's ruin it. And it could have... Not that I saw it. I heard it was atrocious.
Did you read the Narnia books?
Oh, yeah. Everybody read Narnia. Yeah. I can't believe you forgot about Narnia. The original Christ analogy.
I'm included.
Yeah, spoiler, Aslan was Jesus, and everybody dies except Susan. I always thought that was really messed up. Apparently Neil Gaiman did too. He wrote a story about that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's called like the Susan Problem or something, where it's a couple of like authors or something sitting around and discussing how tragic it is that Susan is forced away from all of her family because she gets interested in boys and makeup, and it's like this real feminist thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
What did you think about the part where Susan turned into a hawk, but she stayed a hawk too long, so she had to be a hawk forever?
Oh, she was a Nothlith or whatever? I don't remember the exact word, but I thought it was good, and she grabbed Rachel's urn when Rachel died and flew away with it and laid her eggs in it.
A touching end to a touching series.
Yeah.
Okay, to move away from that.
I'm like Narnia, though.
I'm reading in the forum thread, Bonjour Duck is describing a book that sounds so amazing, I need to read this. He says, middle school for me was all about the Jedi Academy trilogy of Star Wars books. Luke recruiting potential Jedi from across the galaxy, Han and Leia's twins developing force powers, a lightsaber with three crystals in it that can extend to thrice the length of a normal lightsaber, a Jedi Kumbaya session that chucks Star Destroyers through hyperspace.
Garrett, think about this. Your average lightsaber is probably like 3 feet long. What good would a 9-foot lightsaber do?
Like turning off the TV at night when you leave the remote under the bed.
I can't argue with that logic. That's really solid.
Not the fact that you have the Force and you can just turn the TV off.
Yeah. You can pet your dog from far away with that lightsaber.
You have to be very careful.
But only once.
Yeah, one is all you need.
Oh, okay. That's terribly deranged. Ben, favorite nerd book?
All right. It might not be obvious why this is a nerd book right away, and I won't give the
review. Because you haven't read any books.
This is already starting really good.
I won't give the reveal until the end. And I guess, it could essentially be a nerd book, but I think it's a nerd book in the truest sense that
it's the Babysitter's Club, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, I'm going to get laughed at for this at the end.
Nice.
So that's like the pure, that's the essence of nerd book.
This is an object lesson.
Yeah. So this is a story. It starts with a guy making a deal with a witch to, grant him a crazy amount of wealth. So she does it, and, he falls in love with this witch and all this stuff and essentially goes crazy for her and all
Sounds
this stuff.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, but, skip, 50 years into the future, this guy is very ill. He's going to die. So he gets his whole family to gather at this one island. Talk about inheritance and all that boring crap, just, to see him before he dies. But during this meeting, the witch sends a letter to the family that says, hey, there's a riddle about where all this gold I gave your grandfather is. Find it, or I'm gonna kill all you guys. And so, they blow it off, because they're like, well, I guess someone's trying to get all up on granddad's wealth, tee-hee-hee. And after the first day,
sounds awesome, Ben. I don't know how we're gonna make fun of you at the end.
This isn't a Westing game, is it?
No.
That's what I was thinking of too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But no. After the first night, they wake up and three people are brutally murdered.
Nice.
And it's in the most ridiculous way. It's like some closed room scenario, and immediately, some people in the house know about the witch. So, they start murmuring about it, and eventually it gets out as more people start to die. It's like, a witch is doing this. There's no way a human can do all this stuff. And at the very end, the protagonist, his name, and he has a really dumb name, it's called Battler, he gets all, militant and gung-ho and says, no, the witches don't exist. This has to be, a human. Then everyone dies. So it doesn't really matter. But what is really interesting about this is after everyone dies, Battler, somehow, because he's dead, meets the witch, and they get caught in this scenario where Battler is out to prove to this witch that she doesn't exist by looking at what happened that weekend and, trying to disprove every single instance that would say that a witch did this. So, he tries to prove supernatural things by, all these bizarre explanations. And
is this called, Weekend Witch or something, or?
No, it's not. And yeah, so all that happens. It's a crazy story. Just the concept of like someone arguing to a witch themselves that they're not real, and how it's just great. But now why you're going to laugh at me is this story is, the title is Umineko no Nako Koro ni, and it's a visual novel.
Nice.
Oh, Ben.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Wait, a visual novel? What do you mean a visual novel?
Like Radical Dreamers. It's a text game for your computer for babies.
Oh. Babies.
What a nerd. No,
the story is seriously like the most complex and amazing thing.
So it wasn't a book?
It wasn't a book that you hold in your hand, but there were words. It's written like a book. There are just pictures and really, really good music.
Boo.
Yeah. Much like Cowboy Bebop. That's not a book either.
Boo.
It's not animated, though.
Hey, look at this nerd over here.
I can't read a book. I have to play a video game that is a book on the tier of nerd books.
That is a 10 out of 10.
That's
a hot book 10.
That's much nerdier than how much I love The Magician's Nephew. I'll give you that much.
Are there any other highlight books that we should talk about that we haven't?
I just realized we haven't discussed A Wrinkle in Time.
I really love that series.
Give me a synopsis, because I know I read it, but I don't remember anything.
Oh, gosh. That book is so difficult to summarize.
There's something.
Is that a series where the opening chapter is like, Mrs. Witch meets Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Who?
Yeah,
is
Mrs. What's it? Who's it? The Tesseract.
I remember Tesseract is like a wormhole or something.
And Charles Wallace, the weird genius kid who doesn't talk.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, I don't remember anything else, though. Come on, give me something, Dan.
Well, no, here's how you're going to recognize it, and this is what I wanted to talk about, is the cover that all of us are familiar with from the paperback edition. It features a winged centaur in a dark, cloudy sky. And then
I'm looking at it right now.
Craggy mountains and a disembodied skull with red eyes surrounded by a sphere of some kind. And that is the nerdiest book cover I have ever experienced.
It has a medal.
And that is why I read it.
That's why you read it? Because you
like it, though, Dan?
I did enjoy it. Holy I didn't crap. Read this.
The plot summary on Wikipedia is like 8 paragraphs long here. So
I also liked the sequel.
Yeah. Garrett, take it to heart that, like, as complicated as Game of Thrones is and the other ones, it's not this complicated. Nobody's named, like, Mrs. What and Who. It's people named, like, Jamie and John.
Okay, I'm sorry for anyone who's listening. It's like, what's this book about? Because apparently it's so difficult that we can't muster.
Well, it's about switching to the fourth dimension and stuff. It's neat. That's all I can say.
It's a very unsettling book. I just want to read this from the
plot
from the Wikipedia entry. It is the bodiless telepathic brain that dominates the planet of Kamazots. It controls all the people in Kamazots and makes people often do some things together in mechanistic synchronicity, as if they were robots.
Oh my god. That's like one of those... sorry.
It is always capitalized in the book, and it's really kind of made me nervous when I was reading it.
It sounds like one of those setups for one of those terrible like ethics problems where it's like there's a disembodied brain on a railroad track, and a train can either run over one adult or 5 children, and there's like demons that are partially inactive, and the future of the children could save the world, but one of them also causes AIDS. That sounds like A Wrinkle in Time to me. One of those ridiculous problems.
I think that's actually an accurate summation of one of the Wrinkle in Time novels.
Yeah. One of the children causes AIDS, and it's a disembodied brain in a head in a jar.
Fun fact, I think Brian Lee O'Malley's wife is like doing a picture book version.
So now you'll be able to read it.
Yeah.
Boo!
Nerd.
Nerd. That's awesome.
I'll just let myself out.
I guess.
All right, so let's, before we close out then, what is the most nerdy book that you're ashamed to bring up that you read?
Oh, come on. You should have asked that last time.
So that was yours, Ben?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not even a book, so it doesn't count.
What? It was a book before they put pictures to it.
And a video game.
You don't play it. You just click to turn the page.
Uh-huh. So mine is Doom, the novelization, based on the video game. The book is it's a three-parter. It starts off very close to the video game, in which you are Flynn Taggart, the guy, the space marine who's discovering what is happening on the moons of Mars and discovering the zombies and the piggies, which he calls the little pink demon guys, and the imps and all of that, and he names them, and the blue orb thing that gives him super help, and he doesn't know what's going on. So he gets back to Earth. That's how the first book ends, and I think he finds one of his cohorts, some girl on his marine team. And the second novel is where the series really picks up and gets totally awesome. On Earth,
nice.
All of the Doom creatures have taken over or are attacking Earth. And guess what the only place on Earth that is still a bastion of human society is? Guess.
America.
Utah. Guess where specifically? Salt Lake City.
Oh, wow.
Because the Mormons have been stockpiling in their catacombs underneath the tabernacle tanks and weaponry for thousands of years or something, and have fought back the horde at Salt Lake City. And that is the only point at which humanity still exists, and that's where he lands. And he ends up meeting a Mormon sniper named something, and the books get even more awesome because, like, the Mormon sniper falls in love with his girlfriend, and then they have to go back to the moons of Mars for some reason. It's just, it's so good.
And that's like a book about, like, the upcoming Starmer.net convention.
I know, right?
Spoiler, Utah.
It's so good. So that is the one I am the most ashamed to have read at least several times through, the Doom novelization. Dan? Time to confess.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I read some extended universe Star Wars novels in my day, including the young adult ones, which featured Zorba the Hutt and my favorite character, Lando Calrissian, in an extended role. But I think the nerdiest book I ever read was actually the novelization of the first Star Wars movie. Because, I mean, why would you read that?
Oh, I've read that, actually, for
school. It's the same thing. What, for school?
Exactly the same. Yeah, I had a sci-fi lit class.
Did you take, like, an AR test on that book?
No, but he's right. It is exactly the same, except for, like, there's a couple places where they change things up very slightly. Like, I think I even read the Return of the Jedi. I read all three of them. And in Return of the Jedi, if you remember the scene where old Ben is explaining to Luke about how Darth is really his father, and he goes, "Well, you lied to me." He goes, "I didn't really lie to you. It's true from a certain point of view." But in the book, he goes, "No, I lied to you. I was a jerk." In the book, he's like, "You're right. It was a total lie. Sorry."
That's fair.
Which I like the book a little bit better for. So, wow, that is pretty nerdy, Dan. Especially because really.
That's pretty nerdy.
Okay, Liz, what do you got? Can you one-up him?
I think I can. I had to think about it for a little while. If we're counting novelizations, this was a... Let it be known, I had a TV. I had several TVs, all with cable hooked up to them. But
I had a TV. I had Nickelodeon.
But thank you. Because that's a good segue. I read several novelizations of The Secret World of Alex Mack.
My God.
And my favorite...
That is my ghostwriter book.
My favorite, I just looked it up, was one where Alex Mack is at a Renaissance fair, and she's dressed as a princess, and she's having a great time, I guess, and hits her head and forgets who she is and thinks that she exists as a medieval princess in real life, and that the medieval times is her kingdom, and then she suddenly, like, she finds out she has powers, but she also thinks she's a medieval princess, and she... To quote the review, cannot figure out who is a friend or who is an enemy.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
That covered all of the bases.
Yep.
Listen, Alex Mack was totally hot.
Oh, she's fat now. Bad news.
Oh, that's too bad. That's why I watched that show as a kid. Like, oh man, Alex Mack is cute.
She was cute.
She's so shallow, Garrett.
Like in the pilot when she's all naked and stuff. Great. Dan, you gave that the heartiest laugh. I knew
no male member of the podcast could bring that part up. So, Liz, only you could introduce the pilot scene. I'm glad you did it.
Yeah.
Seriously, this might have to be the picture for this whole part of the podcast, is how pretty
Alex Mack naked is.
Alex Mack naked. Come on. Ben, it's a family
That's what we were talking about.
That's what you were talking about, Ben.
I said no words in that entire conversation.
It's a metaphor, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I think Matt over here was a big fan of hers as well. I know some of my friends were in college, too. They loved that Alex Mack was fine girl. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good times.
I'm going to have to link this to Ben right now.
Apparently nobody in that movie has a career now. The dudes is dead, so.
Oh.
Yeah, dark.
Calling it out.
Yep.
Do you remember the characters' names?
Well, Katarina Stratford and... Beatrice? Beatrice is Much Ado About Nothing.
Shakespeare is the heart of nerd books, so
it's true.
That's a good way to finish this out. So where do you got Ben? Unless Ben wants to redeem himself with an actual book that was printed on paper on a dead tree.
I can't get any lower than
that's a great picture, Garrett.
Isn't it?
This is a nice little collage.
Like a homage to Alex Mack.
It's when you look at
this
it.
It's like
you,
on a 90s fan site here.
You forget how bad the effects really were until you see it. Like the zap, it looks like she's peeing out of her finger. It looks awful.
It does.
But I'll never forget the little sound effect that played when she was about to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have that play under the entire podcast. So it seems like we're about to move some boxes with our minds.
Yeah. We're about to antagonize Annie for literally no reason.
Yeah.
All right. Outdo it then. So we're going to take a short break here. We'll let
on Alex Mack.
That she's actually fat now. I'm looking for pictures. I don't see anything else.
Prolonged GC-161 exposure would make anyone overweight. Or defenseless.
She's a munchie.
What's her name was Clarissa?
Larissa Olenek.
Olenek? Oh, man, I can't believe I remember this. Larissa.
Garrett, it said it right on that page where you got that image.
Yeah. Oh. I can't believe I remember this word that's in front of me.
It came to him suddenly.
All of you.
I know, maybe she thinned out again, but I know, I remember her and Melissa Joan Hart, I remember seeing pictures of, and it was just like, oof, what happened? Life was not good to anyone except Keenan, apparently.
Snakes on a plane. Everyone.
I think it was like a Final Destination thing where he stole all of their careers, like all the luck he took for himself.
But he's about to get decapitated on a roller coaster.
What? Yeah, there's a Rube Goldberg device waiting for him.
There's her. Is that Queen Latifah?
No, that's her.
What does she do with Queen Machine?
Anyway, Alex to close Mack. Out the podcast.
All right, let's close out the show. Thank you, Charlie, for your segment. Thank you, Dan, for joining us talking about Alex Mack. I mean, nerd books.
Anytime, on either subject.
Oh, wait.
Anyway, thanks for being on the show, everyone. Liz, tell people how they can contribute to the show if they so wish to after listening to this terrible, terrible Alex Mack segue.
The best way to get in touch with us is to post a 3-4-star review of us on iTunes, because we'll most likely be like, what is this?
That is so true.
It's so true. That's honestly the best way to get our attention, is to leave us a somewhat scathing, somewhat complimentary review. Like, I love the title for it that says, A Good Podcast for a Fantastic Site. Like, you don't look fat in those jeans.
You still look fat.
Yeah.
It's an A+ nug.
But if you want to leave a comment without attaching a rating to it, then you can get a hold of us on Twitter, which just go to Twitter and search for Fangamer. Facebook works the same way. Look for Fangamer. Our dear friend Charlie, sweet, sweet Charlie, runs that. Office Cam is Fridays at 8:30, 7:30 Central on Ustream. Again, Fangamer is our name on there. We have a Flickr page. We have lots of cool pictures that you can look at if you look up Reedman's name, which is Reedman. And Vimeo is for Office Cam reruns, so Vimeo, go search for Fangamer. Fangamer.net is the store, and .com is the blog. There is, of course, our podcast you can listen to every week. You can go to the blog to get links to the podcast, the game club we do every week or so. We got like one more week left. The two more weeks to come out, but one more week to record. I think I hit all the big ones. Did I miss one?
Nope, you got them all. Well, you start off with the best, the iTunes reviews.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Oh, you know what? We know next week's topic now, don't we?
We brainstormed
like 30 of them and then scheduled them all out. Next week's topic, we haven't given it a good name yet, but it's like non-simulation sports games. So those
basically
games
the NBA Jam podcast.
NBA Spoilers. Jam, Mario Golf, all the Mario sports games. What's Arch Rivals back in the day for Nintendo? Hey, NES, take that.
Is Excitebike a non-regular game or whatever? Because I'd like to talk about how bad I was at that.
Yeah. If we can talk about that, can we talk about Crash and the Boys Street Challenge?
Tecmo football for NES.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl? Heck yeah.
Oh, still the best.
If it wasn't the NBA Jam podcast, it would be the Tecmo Bowl.
Do any of us have NBA Jam yet?
I do.
Can you play online with people? The new one, I mean.
No, you can't.
Oh, you can't? I have no online at all?
No online at all.
Well,
which is
a Nintendo product.
Oh, yeah. My God. They're so... They're like great grandparents that just live up in their plastic white castle. I don't understand them at all.
Yeah, thanks, Japan.
I mean, they could have done it. I mean, you can blame EA really more than Nintendo.
No, I think I can blame Nintendo,
I blame
actually.
Nintendo. EA would have stepped up. They've done lots of games for lots of different systems.
I know a guy at Nintendo. I'll give him some complaints, guys. I'll see him in a couple days.
My uncle works at Nintendo. I got this.
Yeah, we'll send him some emails. Okay, guys. Until next week for podcast number 43, signing off for Fangamer Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Junior Spesh.
Thank you for listening to another exciting installment of the Fangamer Podcast. And I think we either have really bad timing or they just don't let me in on anything. Because every time we do a podcast, like a day later, something really cool happens that we could have talked about on the podcast. This week, if you go to Fangamer.net, you might notice that you can now leave reviews on products. And that is a super big deal. So you should all go on down to Fangamer.net, leave some product reviews, and leave little pretty stars next to some of our products. Because pretty stars are pretty. And so are our shirts. Yeah! Alright, see you guys next week. Thanks again.
I can do it. All right, well, I guess I'll say it this way. You will have to do it next week or barter with Liz at that point. All right. Are you going to feel good about doing it next week?
Well, no. Next week I can put in a junior special, so we'll be good.
What is that, like a Pokemon attack?
Oh, no.
I'll edit this one, and then Ben, you'll do the next one?
Junior special, I think we should talk about it, because it's
relevant to our interests?
No, not yours, since you didn't like Gas Racist, and you probably wouldn't like Soulja Boy Tell 'Em like Amir Liz here.
Mm. Is it any good?
No. It's a rap song by some guys in London about like a junior special at like this fried chicken place, and it's horrible.
Your taste in music is just like so good.
So good.
No, you enlighten me.